My name is Haley Kim, and I'm the creator and host of Iconic Businesses of Dallas. Join me as I interview successful businessmen and women around DFW to hear their stories about how they got to where they are today. Get inspired and leave with great takeaways from their experiences that you can apply to your own daily life.
So I think it's kind of the entrepreneurial process. There's so many different leaps of faith that really no matter what your business is that you have to take to get to where you want to go. And you don't always know what your steps are. You just get these little downloads of a vision and you just have to trust yourself. So that's kind of been my process. And it's been so scary.
Hi, everyone. It's Haley. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I think we can all agree that 2020 has been a super stressful year. My anxiety levels have been off the charts, and so when Lainey Livingston reached out to me about breathwork, I knew I had to have her on the show. Listen in on how Lainey has used breathwork to help people work through struggles with anxiety, depression, and even past trauma. So today we have with us Lainey Livingston, and she teaches breathwork. Hey, Lainey.
Hi, Haley.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, I am so curious to hear about breathwork and what it is.
Oh my goodness, where to begin? So essentially, breathwork is an experiential therapy that uses breath awareness and breath consciousness to tap into your psyche and your body's like innate healing intelligence.
And how did you get into it or learn about it?
Well, actually, that was kind of one of the strange blessings for me from this past like 365-day experience of COVID.
Yeah.
I was at home, like most people, like during lockdown, spending more time at home. And I saw an ad online for a breathwork teacher training. I had never in my life taken a breathwork class. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that breathwork is something that's really prevalent in Dallas, in this area. I know that other areas have breathwork communities, but we really don't here. So I'd never taken a breathwork class. I had never done breathwork. Mm-hmm. And I just had this nudge to take this teacher training, take the certification. And once I signed up for that and I did breathwork myself, I was hooked. So that's just literally random through the universe, just like seeing that ad and just knowing inside this was something that I was led to do.
Wow. And what were you doing before that?
A couple of different things. So I'm a licensed attorney and I had been practicing law, had gone through that whole process, but I knew even prior to starting my practice in law school that it was not the path that I actually wanted to be on. So I'd gotten to a point with that where I knew that I wanted to help people in a different capacity, more in a healing sense versus helping people through the judicial system. But I had been so kind of ingrained in the academic world and process. The only way that I thought that I would be able to do that would be going back to school and, you know, getting licensed as like a social worker, a therapist or something like that. So I knew I was going to change directions, but I didn't know exactly how that was going to happen. So I left the practice of law. I knew I didn't want to be an attorney. And I got back in the service industry as a lawyer to really just give myself a cocoon job to figure out, what do I want to do? Like, what are my nudges? What direction do I want to take this? And how is this going to manifest itself for me? Like, how can I help people in this capacity and like figure out what my next steps would be? And honestly, that's how I got into the coaching space and then breathwork. So
that's so crazy because those two jobs are like polar opposites, right? One is like highly stressful. And then this one's more like calming. You're helping people relax. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So there's been several leaps of, which I think is kind of the entrepreneurial process. There's so many different leaps of faith that really no matter what your business is that you have to take to get to where you want to go. And you don't always know what your steps are. You just get these little downloads of a vision and you just have to trust yourself. So that's kind of been my process. And it's been so scary. I mean, it's scary to have lots of student loan debt from law school and to tell your friends and family, this isn't what I want to do with my life. And people think you're crazy. But just trusting yourself and letting things kind of unfold and then, you know, just taking those steps.
That is really scary. I can't imagine just switching directions like that. And it's not like law school is cheap.
But no.
Did you get a lot of like support from family or like negative kickback? How did that go?
I think that's been a big part of my process too, because I really didn't. I had some family members that, while I knew they didn't understand my feelings and they didn't understand my thinking, they were still supportive of me trying to find my joy. Then I had other family members where I had a lot of resistance and a lot of judgment, and it was actually quite painful. And if I would have been better at putting my blinders on and saying, this is the path I want to take, and ignoring that, I would have dropped out of law school because I had those feelings in law school.
Oh, wow.
But I cared too much about that outside influence and that outside pressure, which I knew then and I know now it comes from, you know, wanting the people that you care about to be safe, and risks are, they don't sound safe, you know, and wanting you to be successful and stuff like that. But it can end up having the impact of, you know, preventing people from doing things they really feel drawn to do because of not wanting to disappoint people that you love and care about.
Yeah.
So I did, but I had a mixture, but more, I had less support than I wish I would have had. But luckily I had a lot of friends that were really supportive.
I hear that from a lot of entrepreneurs though, you know, a lot, people are always going to be like, oh, you're crazy. You must be nuts to give up. You know, especially, oh, attorney, everyone's like, oh, gosh, you made it. You know, especially I know even in Korean culture, it's like you're a doctor or an attorney or something like that. And then if you're like, oh, but I want to do something more like not mainstream, they're like, you can do that as a hobby while you're an attorney.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of see where you're coming from. I mean, it's going to be so difficult to follow your dream when not everyone, especially that those you care about, are, you know, have your back.
It is. So. But I think there's something special, regardless of what your talent is, whether it's, you know, designing homes or selling homes or starting a brokerage or being an attorney or being a coach, practicing breathwork, or an artist, if you are a chef, if you let people tap into their magic, there's huge potential for those people to be successful, even if it's not conventional. You know, or even if it doesn't necessarily automatically make you think of money, like doctor, lawyer, or something, people can be highly successful when they're encouraged to tap into what they're innately drawn to do and what they're like drawn to manifest in the world, you know, whatever that talent is. And I don't think we nurture that enough, and it's unfortunate.
I agree with that. I mean, you gotta like what you do. You do it all day, almost every day.
Yep.
You know, and so many people are so miserable at their jobs, but they stay because it's safe and pays the bills.
Yep. You know? And that's a huge contributor to burnout and just not, I think, just losing that joy for life that we should all have.
When you get used to it.
You do.
Just think about the year of COVID, how we're already used to all of that, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It doesn't take very long.
It doesn't take long to get used to that stuff. And I will say, as crazy and tumultuous as this past year has been for so many people, I think that's one thing that not everybody, because there are obviously big sectors where people continue to work and they didn't have huge change, but there were also a lot of people that were forced to slow down.
Yeah.
And that's something that when it's literally forced on you, you just have to go with the flow. And I know in that regard, it was really, I don't know if beneficial is the right word, but just, I guess, beneficial for people to just be able to recalibrate and just slow down for that period.
I totally agree with you on that. Like, I think even especially with me and Matt, we're so busy going. And the silver lining and all that was I got to slow down. I mean, real estate stayed busy.
Yeah.
But for the first couple weeks, we weren't allowed to go anywhere, remember?
Yeah.
And so we really got to spend time with the baby. I mean, she's not a baby, but I call her baby. you know, it's stuff we didn't get to do during the week with her ever, you know?
Yep.
And so I guess we were very lucky that, you know, we didn't have to worry about losing our jobs, but we did get to spend a little more time with family.
Yeah. So it's a definite blessing.
Yeah. So tell me more about the breath work. Like, what are some of the benefits? And like, I guess it's kind of like almost like an alternative treatment to, you know, therapy, right?
It is. Oh my gosh, there's so much that I can say about it. Breathwork is truly life-changing, and it can be utilized, and it's such a simple thing. I don't want to compare it to yoga because they're completely different things, but it reminds me of yoga in the sense that, you know, in Western culture, there was a huge period of time where, you know, yoga wasn't popular. It wasn't mainstream. Mm-hmm. There was a specific demographic of people, like this counterculture people, you know, in the 60s and stuff like that, that practiced yoga, but it has so many benefits. But for some reason here, it wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. And then it blew up and it was mainstream. And so all these people benefit from it. And while breathwork is a totally different modality, that's kind of what we're on the cusp of right now, is breath work becoming more and more popular and more people practicing it. Like Wim Hof is one person who is somewhat mainstream and has allowed breath work to gain some, I guess, more prominent like notoriety and have more awareness for it. But it truly and essentially is this practice of just tapping into the power of your breath and letting that process bring up, it moves stagnant and dormant energy. It allows blocked emotions and emotions that have been suppressed and repressed to come up to the surface in order to be released. It also, whenever you drop fully into your breath, your brain waves change. So your brainwaves switch over to alpha brainwaves or theta brainwaves, which puts you in a more relaxed state. And that's how you access your subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind is what houses all those stories and limiting beliefs. Essentially, it's like your self-image that you kind of operate off of unconsciously in your everyday life. And it's really what causes a lot of our edges that we come up against, or things like negative things that happen to us. They're based off these programs that we're operating on, like, you know, money is evil or all men suck or, you know, or any negative stories that you unconsciously tell yourself. Like, we run off these programs that we don't even know we run off of. So whenever you drop into breath and whenever you do active breathing like this, and there's different styles, it's an umbrella term. So there's a wide variety of styles that you can practice. The style that I practice and teach, it really is about tapping into your subconscious, getting to the root of those subconscious beliefs, and then reprogramming them, and then allowing those emotions and that energy to kind of come up and be released and to move. So you can truly use it I've used it for substance abuse, relationship issues, releasing shame. I mean, you can use it for anxiety, depression, increased clarity. Just truly, I can curate a breathwork session almost on almost anything.
I was gonna say, it's basically beneficial to anyone then, because all those things you listed, everybody has at least one or two of those things going on
in
their
life. It's true. It's true. I just had, in the course of the last 24 hours, I had one gentleman reached out to me who has been suffering with anxiety and with depression. I had another one who just got out of a recovery facility. I have another woman who we're going to start working on relationship, kind of toxic relationship traits. I mean, it's just, it's amazing, because you can apply it to so many specific things. And it's so much quicker, and I'll say this based off my own experience, than talk therapy, because it isn't just letting your ego talk and tell a story about something or an event. It's experiential. So you go through this process and you're actually releasing and reprogramming versus just having a conscious awareness of, a, say, like a bad pattern or habit. I mean, I've had probably at least a decade long, you know, self-development journey, mm-hmm. if not longer. And I've tried so many different things, but everything just pales in comparison to breath work. I mean, it blows my mind still that something really so simple can be as effective as it is.
Well, yeah, it is super simple, and we don't think about it because it's like you don't think about breathing. But I mean, I read somewhere where most people, we don't even take deep enough breaths. Like, yeah. They're like, you need to lay down and let your lungs fill. We don't do that. We take these shallow little breaths, and you can only imagine, you know, it's not doing us any good.
It's true. Most of us do have shallow breathing patterns, mm-hmm. and we also like will clutch our inhales. And oftentimes, like if you do practice, like, so I do active breathing, I'll do self breath work very often in my own life, but then I also try to watch my breathing, like what you're talking about, you know, outside of breath work to make sure how I'm breathing. And especially in certain situations, like if something stressful happens, mm-hmm. if you'll practice breath awareness, you'll see you'll clutch your breath and you almost don't breathe. Like if you're in a stressful situation or, you know, a situation that doesn't feel good to you, but that pattern actually causes more anxiety in your body versus deeply, you know, taking a full deep breath into your diaphragm and then a slow exhale.
Yeah, because that's what they teach you to do when you're anxious, right? Like, mm-hmm. breathe in, so you're like, this doesn't feel, it's so funny because it doesn't feel natural and it's like almost uncomfortable at first because you're not used to it.
Yeah.
You're like, this is actually how you're supposed to be breathing though, like taking full breaths.
It's true. We all are crappy breathers.
Yeah, seriously. So I'm so like curious about like the whole thing because you're talking about how I've been to like traditional therapy too. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like, so I had kind of like a, you know, rough childhood, traumatic childhood or whatnot, mm-hmm. you know, and I kind of like put that behind me. I never thought to treat it or, you know what I mean? I was just like, that's the Korean way. You ignore it and you move on. You get over it. That's how kind of how you learn how to do things. And so now I'm older and I'm okay with it, right? Okay, quote, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So then I went to therapy thinking, oh, it'll just help me with just everything, like probably my relationships, because the way I am kind of cold, because but that's how the way I was raised. Mm-hmm. And so going though and talking about it actually did kind of negative for me.
Yeah.
So I felt fine, you know, even though I may or may not be, but talking about it actually brought up mm-hmm. more emotions. And it was like, well, do I really want to open this huge box of emotions that I've already tucked away for so many years? So I stopped going.
Really?
Yeah. And that was probably a couple years ago. It was before COVID.
Yeah, talk therapy is interesting, and I definitely think that it serves a purpose for really specific things. I think it's amazing if you're in a couple situation and mm-hmm. you're having these ongoing communication breakdowns and you need somebody to mediate that communication and to teach and foster healthy communication situations like that. And to your point, I completely relate to that and understand that because there's something about just talking about something and having to rehash something where it does kick it back up for you. And then it kind of becomes part of your everyday story again. Mm-hmm. That doesn't feel good.
No,
it doesn't. And I think because your mind latches onto it, and I think what's interesting and what's different from talk therapy and breath work in regards to stuff like that, I mean, deep and heavy stuff does come up with breath work. And like while I curate sessions on specific things, like a focus point that a client wants to work on, your breath is always going to take you where it wants to take you. So if there's something that's ready to come up, that's going to be what comes up. Like I've done self breath work that was meant to be around kind of my money stories and abundance and kind of reprogramming my relationship with money and ended up releasing stuff associated with my childhood and my self-worth. And so that's what was meant to come up, you know, for my body. That's what wanted to come up. So there is obviously, you are still dealing with things that can be, you know, painful, but there's a release. Mm-hmm. So versus having this you know, emotional stuff from your past come up on a conscious level and kind of linking your thought process to it and attaching your mind to it. That doesn't happen because usually with breath work, what my clients have experienced, what I experience is that once you have a release with a moment or, you know, some type of event from your past, the charge is gone. So I can mentally revisit something that I dealt with in breath work and think about it with my conscious mind, and it doesn't feel painful to me anymore. Like, you truly have, and it's just, it's wild to me, but it's true. You have this shift. And so it's almost like you truly can lay these events and lay these things down to rest because that emotion has been released and that pain has been released. And then you can reprogram any, you know, subconscious like block or thought associated with it. And then it loses its charge and you can just be done with it.
See, that's so interesting to me.
It is.
So during like these sessions, are they talking to you about their problems, or is it mostly just focused on, they kind of tell you like in general what they're here for and then you guide them through the breath? Like,
yeah.
How does that work?
So it is a process. I always do kind of a, what I call an audit in the beginning. And I mean, I've had these conversations that have lasted 2 hours with people, and it really is about, what do you want to work on? What are you dealing with? Where are you holding any pain in your body? Because there's clues with stuff like that, and that will intensify in some degree during breath work. But it shows you where you're holding, like where you're dumping emotions and energy. So we'll get into all that stuff. And then from there, I curate sessions. So whenever we go into their first session or any session, I already have curated the session. So it's on something like very specific, but I'm using specific things they want to work through. I'm using specific pieces of their language that I've taken from those audits because I know that's coming from them. So I incorporate that into the session. And then it's 27 minutes of active breathing that's done with music. And then after that, there's usually about 15, 20 minutes of like what I call rest songs. And that's kind of a mix of just the music and just letting their nervous system just kind of, you know, relax and being fully present with their eyes closed. And then there's a guided meditation and some moments that I guide them through, and then like another rest song. And then after that, because things are coming up, you know, through the active breathing, because I'm doing specific vocal cues to kind of have their subconscious mind come up with stuff.
And they're not saying anything. They're just breathing.
They're just breathing. So they're lying down, eyes closed the whole time. But I'm talking. And it's a combination of talking, but then also because I have the session curated. So I know what I'm saying, but then I balance it with space. So talking, but then space, you know, and just letting them breathe. But they're lying down, their eyes are closed, and it's through Zoom. And then after, you know, the rest songs and all that stuff, then we talk about what came up. And so then we'll have a conversation, and then you kind of end up layering these sessions. Like, if people do packages to where, because it, whatever comes up with that session, then I know, okay, well, this is where we need to go next time. Right. So you just keep peeling these layers back, and it's a really beautiful process. So that's kind of how it goes. So then there's like a mixture of coaching at the end of it too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I love it.
Like, how often do you recommend someone do it? Like, or do you not know until you kind of have their initial audit with them?
The more that you can do, the better. It's like, people will do single sessions, and any breath work that you do, it's like, again, I'll make another yoga comparison. No one's ever gone to yoga and been like, man, that sucked. Shouldn't have done that today.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's, or working out too. It's always beneficial, but it's one session scratches the surface of what you can do. So that's why packages are really the most beneficial thing, because you kind of keep unraveling and pulling on this thread, mm-hmm. you know, and you're working on these different pieces. I mean, I do breath work consistently because I have to do more breath work than the people that I'm, you right. know, coaching, but I still have these chunks of my life that I haven't even touched with breath work yet. You know, and I will, but there's so much to really breathe on. Yeah. And like I said, like I've been doing stuff with kind of my relationship with money and abundance and finances and stuff like that, and like getting to my subconscious programs with that stuff. And then once I'm where I want to be with that, then I'll shift over to other stuff that's happened to me. So with anything, with working out, with anything, the more that you do it, the better results that you're going to have with it. And I think once you do breath work, guided breath work with somebody for several months, then, and you know, same with me, then you're like, okay, like now I have this skill set and I've worked through so much stuff that now I can keep and maintain my self practice, and they know what to do. And I also give them other like self-soothing, depending on what their histories are, what their traumas are, different things like that. Then I'll give them other self-soothing things that then they can carry with them too. So then they have those skill sets to add on top of breath work. But definitely a consistent practice. Like for my packages, I like to do usually weekly.
I feel like even after a long time though, these are like always going to be beneficial though. You know, it's almost like your own me time.
Yeah.
Which you, it makes you, forces you to kind of stop your day and
it does.
An hour or something a day even.
Yeah, I do like 20 minutes usually of breath work.
So there's no excuse to like, I'm too busy.
No. In the very beginning, you do like with my clients, I'll like to kind of start first sessions off where they have the day off the next day, or, you know, they're doing it at night versus like going to work, because you are moving through stuff. So it's like, you want to be really gentle with yourself. But then once your nervous system is like, oh, okay, like this is good for me and I feel good, you know, then you can do it like truly anytime.
Yeah, that's really cool. And yeah, you don't need equipment or, you know what I mean? It's something you can just do.
It's just, it truly is just your breath. Like your body, and your body truly is designed to also heal itself also. So it's just a mechanism that we're all born with. But like we were saying earlier, we're all kind of crappy breathers that hopefully, you know, with more and more people, and I plan on doing a certification at some point, and then more and more people will be practitioners and will be doing this in studios, and more people will be doing breath work. And it's just, it's amazing modality.
Do you think you're going to, with all the like COVID things being lifted, are you going to start doing in-person ones too? Or you like the way you're doing it with Zoom, or how does that work?
I love that you asked that, because it was ironic to me then, and it still is now, that I fell into breath work at a time where like breathing
you can't breathe
was something where people were like, don't breathe on me or don't breathe around me, and here I am like falling in love with breathing. But I was also limited, you know, with what I could, but at the same time it put me in a position to where I was really developing my craft, like, and breathing on my own and doing stuff like that, because I couldn't just go to a studio.
Yeah.
So that, again, was just another weird blessing to me. But I am ready to be in a studio. Like, I want to build a community. I want people to step out into the world and feel good and feel joyful and feel abundant, because that's how we were meant and designed to feel about life.
Yeah.
And not enough of us feel that way. And it makes me really sad. And I think being in a studio and being in person is the best way to, you know, have that happen at a faster speed. So that's like what I'm in the process of doing right now, is finding a studio or a couple of studios that would be a good fit for me and want to take this journey with me, because it's, I mean, it's, wherever I end up, it's going to be amazing.
That's awesome.
I'm so excited.
So you think sometime in this year?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I have a studio that I just spoke to a couple days ago. So I'm going to talk more with him about it this week coming up. And then I have another meditation studio that I've spoken to. So,
oh my gosh, how awesome.
I know. I'm excited. I think we need it to just, because of the masks and everything else we've gone through, when I visualize it in my mind, mm-hmm. to just be in a studio with people like openly breathing and just letting go of all their stress and all their tension from everything, you know, we've experienced over the past 365 days. And to be able to have that sense of socialization and community again.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's awesome.
We're all social beings, and this, I mean, it was rough, you know, like not being able, some people haven't seen their family in a year.
I know.
You know, I cannot imagine, like, my mom's already part of my household, so whatever, but I can't imagine not hugging my mom for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
That is like, that's something that would cause people to get anxious and depressed. I mean,
it is. It is. I mean, and while we've all gone through this similar thing, it's been so unique in how it's, you know, I guess the influence that it's had on our lives. And you're right. That's a blessing that you've been so close to your mom. And I got to be really close to my family too. And I'm so grateful for that, because there are people that they just didn't get to have those connections. And that's probably easier on the child being, you know, younger than it is on adults going through that and being, you know, isolated in a sense. So, yeah, being with people and seeing people out on patios and seeing people hug and being in classes is, it's a good feeling.
I know. Some sort of normalcy is back now. It's like, ugh, I'm just over it. But well, tell us where we can find more information. Like, if we want to contact you or learn more about breath work, where can we find that?
I feel like I am on Instagram the most. So my handle is Lainey_Livingston and then a little tiny underscore after that. And then my website is LaineyLivingston.com, and I'm on Facebook as well. I feel like Instagram is where everybody is.
Yeah, so free advertisement.
It is.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that information with us. Before we go, though, I always like to ask everybody, what do you think is the most iconic business in Dallas?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? For some reason, what comes to mind for me, I'm going to say Torelli's.
That's a good one.
Just because it has been here for so long, and it was the very first bar that I ever worked at was Mixed Bar on Lower Greenville, and it was on the same block as Torelli's, and you know that that block burnt down.
Yeah,
everything else is different, but Torelli's was able to rebuild, so it's still there, and it's been in Dallas for so long, so I think that's what comes to mind for me.
It's still there and it's still good.
It is still good. The Capellini D'Angelo is what I always order.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much again. And I will list all of your stuff on my site so people can contact you.
Thank you so much. You asked amazing questions and thank you for giving me a platform to talk about something that really has the ability to impact people in such an amazing way. I really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
For more information on Lainey and breathwork, visit LaineyLivingston.com. Follow her on Facebook at Lainey Livingston and on Instagram at Lainey_Livingston_. If you liked today's episode, follow me on Instagram at Iconic Business Podcast and subscribe to Iconic Businesses of Dallas on your favorite podcast player. This episode was recorded in Dallas, Texas and edited by Sean Chapman.